get there. We're going to look at verses 5 to 8 this evening. Go ahead and read the entire chapter because there's only 14 verses. 3 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 8 is what we'll be dealing with. And tonight we want to look at the subject of charity, and the necessity of charity in the Christian life and in all of life. I mean, you can apply it however you want to apply it. You can apply it to your everyday life or the Christian life. But Gaius had charity for his brothers and sisters in Christ. He had charity for the work of the Lord. And if you and I are going to do the work of the Lord and do it in the right way, we're going to have charity. There's just no two ways about it. You must have charity. If you don't have charity, you're not going to do the Lord's work. It's just a fact. So you must have charity. 3 John chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. We thank you for the day that you've given to us, and what a beautiful day that you've blessed us with, Lord. We thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ and for the salvation that has been accomplished for us on the cross, and Lord, for your redemption and for being our righteousness and being our sanctification and being our wisdom. Lord, we thank you for all of this. We thank you for the people that are gathered here this evening, for bringing us all together, Lord, by your grace. And we pray that you'd make the time that we have profitable, the fellowship that we'll have afterwards with the food and the fellowship, Lord, I pray that would be all done to honor and glorify you. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that this is the second message from the book of 3 John, if I'm not mistaken. But the letter is written to this man named Gaius. It's an individual, and he is a convert of the Apostle John. He is a friend. He's a well-beloved friend of the Apostle John, and he's writing to him. So let's read the text. Verse number 1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That's why we believe that he's a convert of John. He says, "I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth." Spiritual child of John. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." He says in verse number 5 to 8, it seems as though this man named Gaius, he is involved in helping a group of people do some kind of missionary work. He's perhaps taken them into his home. He is providing their needs. He's going to send them on their journey, it says. And he's gonna push them along, and they're going out, and I believe that they are doing the Lord's work. This is what I surmise when I read verses 5 to 8. It says that they went forth in verse number 7 in his name. That would be the name of Jesus, I would suppose. And they didn't take anything of the Gentiles. They did not get anything from another corporation or something else. All the supplies that they needed to go out and do their work, they got it from Gaius. So Gaius is taking care of a group of people, and they're doing missionary work. And it takes charity, verse number six, these people that Gaius had helped had borne witness of his charity before the church. They had gone out and they had talked to the church, the assembly, and they had said, look, this guy named Gaius, he's a charitable person. He's got love. He supplied our needs. And that's what it takes if you and I are going to do the Lord's work. It's going to take charity. The absolute necessity of charity in the Christian life and in the world. Now, charity, what is that? Charity is love. That's all it is. It's love. Charity is, simply put, if you were to describe love, if you were to describe charity or love in a word, it would be that it would just be giving. That's what love is. A lot of people think love is, well, it's an emotion or a feeling that you get or something like that, but you might get a feeling if you love. You should, you probably will, but that's not what love is. That doesn't define love. Love really is giving. It's giving of yourself selflessly without asking or expecting anything in return. This man named Gaius had charity. Did you know that love or charity is an absolute necessity in the world? God made us, well, as sociable creatures he made us, but he also made us as people who desire to be loved. Every one of us. I don't care who you are here today. You desire to be loved because God made you that way. And it all depends, your happiness and your well-being, your mental stability, all depends on whether someone loves you. That's right. If you are all rejected by everyone, how would you feel? What would you think about yourself? I mean, I think you would, I know I would. I would probably slip into a state of depression. God has made us to love it. And by the way, that's why when man fails to love, at least you have a God who loves you. Because many times man fails to love. But it's an absolute necessity. And also to love others is a necessity. God has made us to shower love on other people, hasn't he? I mean, it adds meaning to your life. It adds so much to your life if you can actually shower somebody else. You can actually love somebody else. It gives you a fulfilled life. It gives you meaning in life if you're going to love. So love is an absolute necessity. And John here is writing to Gaius, and he's been rejoicing over his testimony about his faithfulness in his service and his walk with God. Gaius hasn't moved an inch. Gaius hasn't wavered from what he believed. Gaius hasn't wavered from his faith in Christ and the truth that he was walking in. He's still doing the truth, still walking in the truth. John writes and says, man, I like to see people like that, where they're still faithful to God, all of these, however long he's been doing it. And then the church gets a testimony about what Gaius has been doing in his charity to the church. And as I read these two letters, and we've already gone through 2 John, but we went through 2 John and 1 John, or 3 John we're now in. And I noticed a lot of similarities in these two books here. They're similar by contrast, though, what the differences are. So the things that I noticed is 2 John was written to an elect lady, a woman, one of John's personal friends. 3 John is written to a man, also a Christian. It's written to that man. One is written about false teachers and false brethren. That would be 2 John, if you remember that. 3 John was written about genuine brethren going out and doing the Lord's work. You remember in 2 John, John wrote to the lady and says, you better watch out for false teachers because they're going out and they're spreading false doctrine. Well, now we have genuine teachers in 3 John, and they're going out in their missionary endeavors. See the two opposites? One was written to commend the hospitality of the right people. That is Gaius. He says, man, you're doing a good job. Hospitality of the right people? Very good. Send them on their journey. Send them on their way. The lady in 2 John, John wrote to her and said, you better watch out. Don't let them into your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't do that. And here's Gaius, and John says, boy, send them off. Further them. So there's the brothers and sisters in Christ, and John is helping those people, and it's going to take charity. He's taking care of them in some capacity. If you and I are going to do the Christian work, we're going to live the Christian life, or you're going to live life at all that has any meaning to it, you're going to have love. Love is the basic thing. It's the foundational thing. You can say other kinds of things like kindness and joy and long-suffering and patience, all of those, but at the root, it's love. You have to have love. It must be charity. So I wanted to show you 3 reasons tonight why charity is a necessity in life. Why? Why do we have to have charity? Well, number one, the reason why you must have charity in life is because charity is faithful. It's faithful. It doesn't give up. It doesn't quit. Not true charity. It's faithful. He says in verse number 5, he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. John quickly points out, look, you've got some work to do, and you had been doing that work, and it's a faithful work. Whatsoever thou doest faithfully. He was faithful in that endeavor. That means that Gaius didn't give up. That means that Gaius did not stop. That means that Gaius wasn't here today and gone tomorrow. That meant that, you know, the people at the church or the people that he was helping here could count on Gaius. He was here today and he's going to be here tomorrow. He was helping us yesterday and he's going to help us tomorrow. They weren't questioning it. They weren't saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if Gaius is really going to be that faithful. I mean, he helped us out last week, but you know how he is. He's kind of flaky and sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't show up. And you know, John didn't write that way. John says, whatsoever thou doest faithfully. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never fails. Never fails. It's always there. It's always faithful. And John is noticing and examining this true love that he has, and he says, you're faithful. Did you know that charity is faithful to do? It's faithful to do. It's not just a static thing. John didn't say, well, I see your feelings that you have, Gaius, and you're very faithful in the feelings that you have. The Bible doesn't speak in those terms. John didn't say, whatsoever you feel for these people. The Bible doesn't go by feelings because true love isn't a feeling. True love is doing something. True love is action. He says, whatsoever thou doest. True charity is faithful in doing something. And Gaius was faithful. It's not a noun. It's an action word. It's never a static event. It's faithful to do. It's faithful to strangers. He said, whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Well, he may not have known these people too well. Obviously he didn't. He knew some of the brethren, but he says, and to strangers. Maybe he wasn't too familiar with some of these people. He says, you know what? I have charity. There was something in his heart. There was something that he loved. And he says, I am going to be faithful to the strangers because charity is faithful to strangers. Charity is faithful to endure. Verse number 6 says, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Now they were fixing to leave. He'd been taking care of them. I don't know if he'd been taking care of them at his house. Or what? But he says, whom if thou bring forward on their journey in a godly sort. How do you bring somebody forward on their journey? How do you do that? You ever give somebody a big send-off? You ever had somebody at your house and you just want to forward them on their journey? You want to give them a good send-off in a godly sort. That means you don't just stop taking care of them at your house or whatever you're doing. No, your goodness extends on. It extends their journey a little bit. You ever experienced a good send-off? Somebody been good to you? I was thinking about this, and we used to go to our in-law's house for the holidays. And my mother-in-law is a wonderful cook. She has her own restaurant. She cooks Mexican food. She could get you fat in a hurry and make you like it. She loved it. Man, to go down there, eat enchiladas, tacos, pozole, all that good stuff. All that good stuff. Man, we'd love it. Chips and salsa, handmade chips, fried, handmade salsa. And none of this paste picante stuff. It's the good stuff. Perfect. Not too hot, not too mild. She'd make sure she made it just right. And boy, we'd just pig out over there. But you know what happened once we got ready to leave the house? Got ready to go back to wherever we were going from? She'd have a big bag of food there for us. Here's some burritos. Here's a big tub of salsa. Here's a big thing of tortillas. We got tortillas for 6 months now. Plenty of food. We go back and our van smells like a Mexican restaurant. Boy, that's sending them on. That's forwarding your journey right there. That's giving a good send-off. Hey, her charity didn't stop at the door. It went on, and a few days later, we're thinking, man, it sure was nice of her to send that food. My wife is saying, I don't even have to cook. Got plenty of food. He's forwarding on their journey. His faithfulness didn't stop at the door. True love endures. True love cares about what happens later. Amen. And if you and I are going to have true love for the brethren, it's going to show in our faithfulness and our action and our willingness to strangers. It's faithful to do. It's faithful to endure. Are you and I a part of the faithful? I must say that I fail sometimes. And I'm not up here preaching this message because I'm just a perfect man and I never fail. No, sir. I preach messages to me too. It's for me. But would you be one of the faithful? Are you someone that someone could count on in times of trouble? Hey, I know they're going to be there. I can count on them. They'll be there. You know, Solomon was trying to, or he did, write to his son, and he was trying to encourage him, look, be faithful. You don't want to be like one of these unfaithful men. He says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. How do you like to eat with a broken tooth? It's not very fun because you bite down on that thing and you put all your pressure on it and, man, I thought I could count on that tooth to chew up my food and it did nothing but hurt. How many of you like to walk on a twisted ankle? You put all that weight on that ankle and you thought, oh, man, I thought I could count on that ankle. I can't put any weight on that. I can't depend on that. Faithfulness. True charity is faithful. That's why we need charity. We need charity because it's faithful. Charity is not only faithful, but charity is humble. It's a humble thing. True charity is not self-serving. We read in this text that, and we do not read in this text, that Gaius is a self-promoter, he's self-indulgent. Gaius is not writing about himself. Gaius has not been dialing up John saying, have you heard about me? Have you heard about how much I gave these guys? Did you hear about the offering that I gave? That's not Gaius. No, it's not at all. We don't read anywhere in the text where Gaius is fighting for supremacy. He wants to be the boss. He wants to be in control. We read about Diotrephes. Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence. He wants to be in control, but not Gaius. Gaius is in the background, and Gaius is serving other people. That's what Gaius is doing. He's got true charity. True charity is humble. True charity doesn't brag about itself. You know who's doing the bragging and who's doing the praising? John. John is the one who's praising, not Gaius. Gaius isn't talking about himself. And verse number 3 says, the brethren gave testimony about this man. Other people are piping up. Other people are talking about Gaius. Hey, have you heard about Gaius? Well, that guy's giving. He took care of us. Gaius isn't writing and saying, hey, have you heard about my accomplishments? You heard about my accolades? Have you heard about my degrees? All of the things, all my schooling, all of this. Have you heard about that? No, someone else is doing the talking. Verse number 6 said, they have borne witness of thy charity before the church. They came before the church and said, this man is a charitable person. Because true charity does not build up itself. True charity has a servant's heart. It's ready to serve. How about you and I here this evening? Would we have a servant's heart? Would we have that heart that serves? Diotrephes didn't. He loved to have the preeminence. You know how easy it is for you and I to want to try and build ourselves up, validate ourselves before men. I'm no different. You're no different. That's what we like to do, right? About the low self-esteem, maybe. Look at me. How important am I? But I tell you tonight, look, beware of men who are always building themselves up before others and always trying to boost their accomplishments, and they can't stop talking about me all the time. That's not true charity, because true charity is clothed in humility. And you and I, we live in a different time than Gaius did. I mean, we still have the same old sin nature that Gaius did, but we live in a different time. We live in a time where we are all interconnected by social media, cell phones, all of this. And social media can cater to the fallen nature of human beings. It can. You get on Facebook and what do you read? Your little post-it thing right there, what does it say? What's on your mind? Now that might be a good thing or it might be a bad thing. And some people just need to ignore that little sign right there and not be posting things. But if you're one of these kind of people that you want everyone to know just how good of a person you are, just how beautiful you are, just how handsome you are, just how great your life is, how humble you are, how holy you are, how righteous you are, maybe we just need to not do that. And I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm just saying, in general, it's a problem. People can do that. We can become self-promoters. Oh, don't you wish you had the life I had? I mean, look at me. I'm on vacation. I'm having the time of my life. And don't you wish you had? Eat your heart out. Eat your heart out. Self-promoters. Oh, it's all about me. It's the Facebook, right? Tweeting. Instagram, whatever it might be. And I'm not judging anybody here. I don't see your stuff. But it can happen. When Solomon wrote to his son again, he warned him against self-promotion, and he says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips, a stranger and somebody else, not you. Don't talk about your accomplishments. Be humble, because true charity is clothed in humility. And someone who is constantly bragging about themselves or talking about themselves has deep spiritual problems that they need to deal with. But then again, folks, you got to be careful with our humility, because our humility can become a source of pride. Did you realize that? I mean, did you realize that you and I, we can look around and we can point out other people's pride? And look at those proud people over there. Golly, I'm glad that I sure am glad I'm humble. I'm glad I'm not as proud as that guy over there or that woman over there. Look at them. You know, and we can start to sound like those Pharisees. Because they said, boy, I'm glad I'm not like the publican. I mean, I fast twice a week. I'm not like the adulterer. I give to the poor. I do all this stuff. And I'm glad I'm not like that. And there he is. And he's just puffed up with pride. And we can say, well, I'm glad I'm not as proud as that person. I'm a lot more humble. And then our humility becomes pride and it caused us to sin. Do you realize how fallen that you and I are? The good qualities that we have on the inside of us can cause us to stumble and become a sin in our life. That's how fallen we are. True charity has humility. But true charity, moving along, also inspires. It inspires. He says in verse number 8, John gets excited. John gets excited about the work, and he says, we therefore ought to receive such. We ought to receive these men that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Why? They're going out in the name of Jesus. They're doing missionary work, preaching whatever they're doing a good work and spreading the truth. And John sees the charity of Gaius and he says, hey, I went in on this. I want to help you. I want to help these men out. He says, we therefore ought to receive such. Boy, he gets encouraged. Did you know that your charity and my charity, if we have true charity, it's going to spill out and it's going to affect other people? It's going to inspire other people? It's going to encourage other people. John is not being compelled here. John is not saying, well, I guess if I got to take care of these people or I got to do something, I will. No, he says, man, I want to. I'd be more than happy to. And I see your charity, and boy, it just inspires me. But true love, it inspires unity. Because John wants in on the action. He says, we therefore ought to receive such. And he says it twice. He says, I want to partner with you, Gaius. I want to help. And he says, I want to be fellow helpers of the truth. You know, the best thing that you and I could do, if we want to accomplish something, is we've got to have charity. Inspire others to unity. And John is ready to collaborate. He says, let's get together and let's work for a common goal, for a common good. True love inspires unity. True love inspires service for the Lord. John's ready. Wants to go to work. He wants to serve the Lord. And he's not being inspired in the wrong way. He's not saying, man, Gaius, he's something else. I just want to follow him and he's my hero now. No, he says, man, let's get to work. Let's work for the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Got inspired in the right way. You can get inspired in the right way or the wrong way. Inspire people in the right way. And it's love. It's charity. It must be charity. You think about the love of God and what was the motivating factor. Why did God send His Son to die on the cross for our sins? Why did He do it? It was because of love. It was because of charity. For God so loved the world. That's the basic thing. The foundational thing was love. It was just love. The root of His sacrifice of Christ was love. And then the love of God for us is what motivates us and inspires us to love others and serve others. We went through the verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. What's the motivating factor for us to serve others? It better be love. It better be love. Because if it's something else, if something else is driving our Christian life and something else is driving the things that we do, we're in the wrong lane. We're on the wrong side of the track. It must be love. And then the love of God for us through Christ is what unifies us together. What are we doing here this evening? All these different people. Different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different jobs, different occupations, different likes, different all of these things. What brings us together? What unifies us? The love of God is what unifies us. That's what unifies us. So there must be all of these things. It can only be done through charity. So charity is faithful to others. It's faithful to God. It's humble before God, and it's humble before others, and it inspires others. That's why charity is a necessity. But what one thing is missing out of all of this? The one thing that is missing out of all of this is you and I. You and I are missing. If you and I are going to make a difference, if we're going to do something, we must put ourselves aside, because charity doesn't involve you and I. Only on the giving part. That's all it involves. And we have to put ourselves aside. And we must be concerned about the furtherance of others and supporting others for the gospel of Christ. You know, we further all kinds of other things in our lives. We give to our cable networks. We give to Netflix. You give to Amazon. You give to your car payment or whatever it might be. We're willing, more than willing, to further those things. But many times when it comes to missions or your local church, kind of drop the ball. I'm not ready to further that. I'm not ready to give to that. But to these other worldly institutions, okay, no problem. Must have charity. We must have charity. And, you know, if you and I, we're going to give to these other worldly institutions, like whatever it might be, they're advancing a worldview. They're putting out things, you know. And if the church shrivels up and dies, our worldview is going to shrivel up too. And secularism is going to take over. And we will be silenced. And it's because the Christians aren't giving. And they're not working. And they're not doing things. So we must have charity. I want to leave you with this, that we remember the charity and the selflessness that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross. He selflessly submitted himself to the will of the Father, and his entire life was a life of submission to his heavenly Father. His life, his death, his resurrection was all for our salvation, and it was all for our redemption. He shed his blood in submission to the Father because of our rebellion to the Father. That's why he did these things for us. And so now you and I must submit ourselves to the Father and to each other. It says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So true charity is putting aside ourselves and our own ambitions and our own desires for the sake of others. Charity is a necessity. It's not an option. It's a necessity. Let's pray.